I'm Pat Slore, and I'm interviewing Paul Fitzgerald. And today is Thursday, April the 12th. Yeah. So do you have a few minutes?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Is it all right if we use this tape for AA, the AA membership in general, or just for historians, or how do you want it to be made available?
You make it any way you wish. Just a minute.
Okay.
I want to get the papers.
Okay.
Pat, the one that I run them off in more or less of chronological order.
Uh-huh.
And I ran them down one, two, and so on.
Uh-huh.
And I've gotten 11 groups down here, I think.
Great.
And the 12 groups, as a matter of fact, including central office.
Uh-huh.
The first one, of course, I always put with is the Newport Ritchie group, and that now meets at Father Felix Hall over in 705 Washington Street. Is this going into the recorder?
Right, yeah.
In Newport Ritchie.
Uh-huh.
And my recollection on this group started back in the art studio over on Missouri Avenue, but I haven't been able to establish the year that it started.
Uh-huh.
And then the second group, I think, was the Hoot and Holler group. That's H-O-O-T dash N dash Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R group.
Uh-huh.
They meet in the Westminster Presbyterian Church at 3401 on U.S. 19 in Newport Ritchie.
Uh-huh.
To the best of my knowledge, this started about 1968. And as far as I could find out, the founders of that group was a man and his wife named Frank Kelly.
Uh-huh.
And I also understand that there were another couple involved, Al and Leroy Biggers, involved with that group, but I'm not too positive about those two.
How did it get started? Was it an offshoot of another group, or?
That I couldn't say. It had to be an offshoot from somewhere, and I would say all of these would have to be classified as offshoots of either Ozona or Clearwater.
Okay.
Because they're the nearest ones I can think to it. And if I remember correctly, the Ozona group started in a saloon or a
right
tavern down in Ozona about 25 years ago. Isn't that right?
I think it was 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it started in the back room at Woody's place, yeah.
Yes, well, that would throw out the Tom and Spring group, because I understand that started in 1948.
Yes, uh-huh.
And then I put Tom and Springs as number two also, but that was before I found out that it started in 1948. Uh-huh. And Tom and Springs group started in the All... It now meets in the All Saints Episcopal Church at 600 Keystone Road and on Route 582, Topping Springs in Florida. It started in St. Ignatius Church in Topping Springs. But they tell me, somebody tells me that it started around 1948, and I don't, I'm not too positive about that.
Well, there are some files up in the Pasco Central Office of the early World Service directories from 1945 to 1960, and you can find the listing in those files.
That up in 54, you mean?
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, when we go up there, that we look it up and
right.
Fill in that part of it.
Right.
And the fourth group that I had listed was the 3rd and 11th Port Ritchie, Florida. That started in 1973. And the founders that I have here are a man named Al Hay, H-A-Y, and Jack Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, and also a man that's now deceased, George Gauss, G-O-U-R-S-E. But I understand also that there were a couple of others in on that. Now, and I don't have their names offhand, but I'm pretty sure I can get them.
Uh-huh.
And then the Odessa group came into play. That meets out in Odessa, Florida, in the community building. That started in 1974 or 1975 by a gentleman who was always at the Newport Ritchie group. His name is Julian. And there was a girl in on that too. And in those days, the girls used to take names for themselves. For what reason, I don't know. I assume it was the anonymity part of the program. And she called herself Twiggy. I want to put that on the record, I don't know.
For goodness sakes.
Twiggy, and then I hear a girl up here in the meetings up here now calls herself Tiger.
Yeah.
And as I remember it, she was a member of the old Hoot and Holler group.
Mm-hmm.
Then the sixth group is the, that I have here is Keep It Simple group. And that's a ladies group.
Mm-hmm.
They meet in Westminster Presbyterian Church that I mentioned above, and you have the address there. That started in 1975 by a lady named Bonnie Clifford,
uh-huh.
Evelyn Clifford, and Ronnie O'Loughlin. And after that came the Newport Life Group, which meets in St. Vincent de Paul Church in Holiday, Florida. That started in 1977 or 1978 by Ronnie and Harry O'Loughlin. And then the eighth group that I have here is Gratitude Group. It meets in Holiday Inn on Sunday mornings. That's on US 19 South, Newport Ritchie. I was started in 1980 by Jack Beckley, a man named Merle, M-E-R-L-E, Vickre, V-I-K-R-E. And I think another gentleman by the name of Orville Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y. He is still active. I think he's the one that's running the group right now. Then the ninth group I have is the Unity Fireside Group. They meet in the Unity Church up at 55 Pine Hill Road in Port Ritchie, Florida. Started in 1980 by Mary Guam, G-U-A-M, Jack Beckley, and this Al Hay that I mentioned before. Then the 10th group was the H period, O period, W period group. They meet in the Hudson Senior Citizen Center in Hudson, Florida on Friday nights. That started in August 1980 by Peter Carsu, C-A-R-S-U, Allegra Barton. You know her?
No.
She was at the meeting that you were at.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was there. And her first name is spelled A-L-L-E-G-R-A.
Oh.
Barton. Her last name is Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N. And another Glory Lutheran Church in Gulf Harbors, Newport Richey. And that started in 1982 by Mary Guam, Betty and Bob Logan, and there was another gentleman involved that I, whose name I do not have at this particular time. And then, of course, we come to the Central Office Group. That started in 1983, last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 12th. 12, that's as far as I've gotten, Pat. And, you see, I haven't been idle.
Right. Boy, I really appreciate that. I tried to get somebody to do something up there for a long time.
Now, there are a lot of other groups here. Mentioned, is this going in on the recorder? You can cut
right.
this off if you want it.
Okay.
Okay. 1946, I was introduced to AA Hospital in Brooklyn, New York. It was the, Episcopal Hospital. This came a year about after I was discharged from the Army during World War II, and I did nothing but drink from 1945 until I went into this hospital in 1946, and it was there I got my introduction to AA.
Were you hospitalized because of alcoholism at
Absolutely.
That time?
Absolutely. Yes, I was. And then I went to a meeting in Flatbush, Brooklyn. You know, they call it the old Flatbush Group. And I met many people there. And I was greatly impressed with the friendship and the fact that people would say hello and accept me. And this was a revelation to me. And as a result, I kept going to meetings and but the urge to stop drinking never left me, and as a result, I kept on drinking, and I drank for 5 long years.
But you were still attending meetings at the time? Or?
In the meantime, I was going to meetings, and I met many very wonderful people, and I went to Bill Wilson's dinner in New York, at the Commodore Hotel and all this. Sort of business, and I used to go to the Kings County Hospital Sunday mornings to meetings, and yet I never seemed to be able to bring myself around to accept the fact that I was an alcoholic. And as a result, I made all the plush hospitals in Greater New York, including Knickerbocker, where Dr. Silkworth was the chief psychiatrist, and Teddy Roan was the head nurse, and Teddy Roan was the lady that was one of the, they wrote a story about her in the Saturday Evening Post, and she was Miss Rheingold in 1919, and she became alcoholic. When, I don't know.
She had red hair, didn't she?
Yes, she was a beautiful lady, and she was just as beautiful inside, too, and he had a tremendous influence on alcoholics, especially the handling of them. Somehow or another, she left quite a legacy behind her. But the man that impressed me most was Dr. Silkworth. He spoke to me for about an hour and 45 minutes and told me that while I admitted that I was an alcoholic, I just refused to accept it. And I looked at him and said to him, Doctor, I don't see how you can say that when I'm here and I've been in all these hospitals and I know I'm an alcoholic. He says, the fact remains you do not accept the fact that you're an alcoholic. The acceptance means that you get completely honest with yourself. And regardless of what this had a terrific impact on me. Nevertheless, I went to the hospital once more. And this was in June 14th, 1950. And I was put into the Kings County Community Hospital in Brooklyn. And there, the chief psychiatrist, or assistant chief psychiatrist, I should say, was Dr. Wiseman. And he called me some very choice names. And nevertheless, I passed whatever test I had to pass, and, which was very simple as I looked back at it. And then the next day he came around to me and he put his arm around me and he said, Paul, he said, you're not so bad. He said, your big problem is that you're a sick man. You've got a severe case of alcoholism. And I strongly recommend that you get back into AA and get into the steps and work on yourself and get associated with the people that are really having success. Fortunately, I come out of Kings County Hospital in a few days and I went to a group in Brooklyn called the Prospect Group. And at that group, I met a man. I don't think he would mind me mentioning name. He's since deceased. His name is John Lennon, and he had a fuel oil business in Brooklyn, and he was a tremendous man. He had a very shrewd, and he could seem to see right through me, and he accepted me as one of his people that he sponsored, and I went around with him extensively, and slowly but surely he started to bring me around, and I got into the steps and accepted the fact I was alcoholic, and then I got up to speak, and this was very, very difficult for me to do, and after speaking several times, a little bit of self-confidence came back and self-reliance, and slowly but surely I started to come outside of myself. I could start to speak to people, and they elected me to the treasuryship, and I held that for two terms, and I had to work in the kitchen, and then the secretary, and then the chairman. And in the meantime, I went over to Intergroup and helped out the other alcoholics and went out on a lot of 12-step work. And as a result, I grew in the program. And I will be celebrating my 34th anniversary this coming June 14th. And there's no words of mine could ever possibly express the gratitude that I hold for this fellowship and people that guided me and directed me along the way in the early days. I've heard Bill Wilson speak about four times, I would say, and I've went back to Dr. Silkworth and had a very nice conversation with him after I got sobered up. And I've seen Teddy Rohn several times after that at the convention meetings, or Bill Wilson's anniversary every year. And they used to hold it in Hotel Commodore in, right over the Grand Central in the big room there. And there would be about 2,200, 2,500 people at the dinner.
Wow.
And now it's gotten to be an annual affair, and they hold it in one of the major hotels up in New York every year. And when I first went there, the dinner was only $5. Now it's something like $50.
My goodness.
But it's still a tremendously big affair. I was at the long timers dinner. That was in 19 and everybody spoke for two minutes, and the people came from all over the country, including Canada, Mexico, and then there's delegations from Dallas. I think flew up in one plane, and then there was some lady there from California. Oh, I forget how many years she had. It was well into the 40s.
My goodness, what was her name? Do you remember?
I wish I could remember. That's one thing that I'm lax on. I haven't got the names. I did know a lot of those people, but that was one of the most memorable affair that I have ever attended to in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I could say in any other walk of my life.
Yeah.
Outside of the war, I've had some very, very stirring memories from that too, and I still meet with my old war buddies every so often at their convention every year. But this dinner up at Stepping Stones to me was one of the most memorable occasions I can ever recall.
Are you going to be going to Montreal to the International Convention in 1985?
I hope to.
Because they're trying to get as many people with 30 years or more together at that time, too, to have a special old-timers meeting.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I'll be there.
Oh, well, that's good. Be sure and, you know, let them know.
Yes, well, it's a question of living to about 85, too.
Yeah.
I'm 78 now.
Yeah.
But,
well, you don't look 78.
Of course, if I could be there, and I'm in reasonably good health right now, I'll probably make it.
Yeah.
I've been to quite a few of these conventions. I was the one in St. Louis in 1956 where, I don't know whether I should mention this or not, but this is not on the record, is it?
You want me to take the tape recorder off?
For this, I wanted to tell you.
Okay, okay.
I have been a member of, I'll be celebrating my 34th anniversary, June 14th, and that was on Flag Day, and there's no real significance to that. But I always do wear a big American flag as a tie.
Oh.
And instead of having an anniversary or a celebration of an anniversary, I take a step. Usually, wherever I can, I will try to get the first step.
Oh.
And then I will take the first step and bring out the fact that it's my 34th anniversary or whatever anniversary it might be.
Oh.
And I found that very beneficial to me.
Oh.
And the 12-step work to me has been one of the biggest helps that I've had through all the years that I've been in this fellowship, because I think that that's what met this man at the Long Timers meeting that Lois Wilson had up at Stepping Stones, and he was a Mexican. And he had 40 years of sobriety, and he said that Bill Wilson came to him and asked him to translate the English book into Mexican so they could start the groups down in Mexico.
Oh.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else that I met up there. I did sit in Bill Wilson's seat where he had that little place where he could overlook the town into, I think it's Bedford Hills.
Uh-huh.
And they could see the place where they hold their meetings. I felt quite proud to be able to sit in that chair.
Yeah, was it by, at a desk?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Wasn't it what he called the shack or something?
That's it. That's
yeah.
The place. And then he had all these pictures, memorable pictures around and so forth.
Yeah.
But now you've heard my story, and I'm thank you for the opportunity of mentioning, saying, speaking it.
Yeah.
But, so you could see that I really love this program, and I love the people that are in it.
Right. Did you ever help start any groups?
Oh, yes. We started a couple of groups back up in Brooklyn that I went in with a couple of other fellows. Of course, names weren't mentioned in those days. I don't know whether they're mentioned today or not, but we didn't use our names. I took office. Like, for instance, I'd take a treasurership in a group that was starting up, or a secretary. And if I was asked, I would chair the group for a while until somebody else come along and was more, should have replaced me as somebody younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that this is very, very important for young people to take over offices of the group. This is the greatest thing in the world, this activity for any young people. I heard a young fellow over here in Sims Park group Monday night. His name was Larry, and he was chairing his first meeting. He only had 3 months of sobriety, and he did a fabulous job.
Oh.
And, of course, he was well-received, and quite a display, quite a few comments come out about the 30-year department. I said, heck, that's just something that happens to all of us if we just stay sober. We've got a one-day plan, which has been very beneficial to me. One of the greatest things that I learned in AA was the fact that I could separate my alcoholic problem from any other problem that cropped up throughout the course of the day. And I learned that from Mr. Jack Leonard.
Oh.
That is probably, to me, one of the biggest helps I've ever had. And due to the fact that I had to get honesty to me is the basic principle of the whole program.
When you say you separate your alcohol problem from the other problems that come up during the day, what do you mean?
I was the type of a person that I was always anticipating things and projecting, and I worried a lot about a lot of things, about the future and so on and so forth, and what I was doing. And after I did something, did I do it right, and so on and so forth. And two, many times when I did a good deed in the office, a good job in the office, I would give myself a pat on the back and have to go out and celebrate. And when I got cut down in the office by the boss or something like that, I had to go out to drown my sorrow. So I had to separate all that from my alcoholic problem.
Right, yeah.
You see what Jimmy.
Yeah, right.
That and many, many other things. That's just a few of the illustrations.
Right.
So my alcoholic problem had to come first, above everything, before anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing or there isn't anything or anybody important enough for me to pick up that first drink.
Right.
And that's the way I separate my alcoholic problem from everything.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, Harvey said that you helped Nell Wing with the archives? With the
book? Yes.
Yeah. Could you tell about that a little bit?
Well, yes. I think that was in 1981 or 82, before she retired in 83, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her up at the Long Timers Dinner up at Lois Wilson's. They were looking for somebody to give the background of the groups in Brooklyn, when they started and so on and so forth, the same as you're doing here in the Newport Richey area.
Mm-hmm.
And a girl down at one of the meetings, and I think it was, I just don't call it, we call it a group, but I may have been celebrating one of my anniversaries, and she asked me if I wouldn't call Nell Wing and go over there, which I did, but I brought with me a man from Bay Ridge, Jack Morrison, his name is. He's another one over 30 years in the program. I thought he would be qualified to speak on a lot of the groups that I couldn't remember. He would, and so vice versa. And we went over there, and we sat down with Nellan, and we started out with the Owl of the Year. When Bill Wilson used to meet down at Clinton Street, where he lived, had meetings down there, and we got this information through members of the Brooklyn group, which Bill Wilson helped to start, and they met in Hotel St. George, which is right up the street from Clinton Street. And we started out with the Brooklyn group, which I think was the first group in Brooklyn that really got started, and then it went to the Bay Ridge group out in the Bay Ridge section in Brooklyn, and then the Forest Hills group out in Queens, and then it went to the Prospect group and the Park Slope group and Sunset group and think of them all right now, but we got put them all down on paper, and we spent practically a whole day over there with our friends, putting dates and names and people together, and it was quite a wonderful experience. Nell Wing was secretary to Bill Wilson for, 25 or 28 years, and she was a non-alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke at the Long Timers Dinner over in the hotel in New York. I forget the name of the hotel. I think in 1982.
Oh.
She gave a wonderful talk. You want me to go any further on that?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm enjoying this, and it's real good to have it in the archives.
But you could get all of those, copy of all those archives from, and what transpired from General Service in New York. You just write them.
Well, I have to know specifically what to ask for. What would you suggest specifically?
The archives of and resume of the Brooklyn, the starting of the Brooklyn groups, uh, 1980 between Nell Wing, Paul Fitzgerald, and Jack Morrison. I think she has a cassette on it.
Oh, good. Okay.
She hasn't. I think I have one.
Oh, great.
And when I go back to Brooklyn, which will be on the 2nd of May, I could probably mail it to you if you wanted it.
Okay, if you'd mail me a copy, I'd hate for you to mail the original tape.
Oh, I got a couple of them.
Okay. Oh, that'd be great.
My ego doesn't go to them.
No?
No, they just sent them to me. You now sent them to me.
Oh, that's terrific.
Now, I'll send you a copy of that. That's what I'll do. That'll eliminate you having to ride over to New York.
Okay, do you have my address?
No, I'll get that from all of that from you when I meet you a week from Saturday. What time do you plan on coming up?
Well, whatever time is best for you.
Well, I'm only about a mile and a half from the Central Group up there on 54.
Mm-hmm.
You know where it is?
Right, I've been there several times.
I think that's as good a place to meet as any.
All right. What about 9:30? Is that too early?
Well, let's make it 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And I would like to invite you here, but I don't know what my sister's got in mind.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. That'd be real good. And then if we needed to look up anything in the files.
Oh, sure. That's the best bet.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's see. I can't think of anything else to ask you, unless you can think of some anecdote or something colorful or memorable experience that you'd like to have preserved in the archives. Do you remember anything like that happened?
Think now.
Well, I'll bring my tape recorder, when I come.
Well, I wish you were up at the meeting Tuesday night. You'd have really had a big laugh, and you'd have really enjoyed, really would have enjoyed a great meeting.
Oh,
I don't know whether she wants to mention her name. I better just give you her first name, Catherine.
Uh-huh.
She comes from Greenpoint Group in Brooklyn.
Oh.
And many a time I've spoken, not many a time, but I've spoken out there about three or four times, and we had a lot of laughs going back and forth.
Oh.
And she really quite a gal. She did a marvelous job. Anyway, so many funny things come out at the meeting. You would have really been, everything in that you would want in the meeting, you had humor, you had the humility, you had everything there that you could want. And the people all got in and spoke right up. And that's some group, that 3rd and 11th step group.
Yes, it is. I had never been up there before. That's nice. I like that.
Would you like to take a step up there?
Sure, yeah.
Well, I'll turn your name over to the chairman up there, and when I meet you, and ask him to give you a step in June.
Okay, well, I'd enjoy that.